morning, church. So good to be in the Lord's house. So let's stand.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Thank you.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. Prepare our hearts to receive your word, Lord. Thank you for showing up, Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen. You can turn it to each other and give a few people hugs and say hi to them, and then you can turn your attention to the screen.
Hey everyone, we're so glad you're joining us. Whether you're with us online or in person, here's a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here's a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are happening at Harvest Time, scan the QR code or visit us at htchurch.com. Have you joined one of our serve teams? We have a lot of opportunities for you to get involved. Scan the QR code or visit our Connect desk in the lobby to find out more.
If you'd like to give, you can visit htchurch.com, click on Give at the top of the page. Use our Realm Connect app to set up recurring giving, or you can give anytime using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be like. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect desk. We love you, Harvest Time, and have an awesome week.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad that you came to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a good job leading us this morning? I want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online at this 10:30 a.m. worship service. We're so glad that we're connected today by God's Spirit and thankful for technology that allows us to worship together this morning. We want to thank you so much for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. And we want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving today. Can't believe that we have already come to the end of the year. 2022 is almost in the history books, and 2023 is about to begin. Your last opportunity to make a gift to Harvest Time Church and receive credit for tax purposes is December 31st, a little over a week from now. On New Year's Eve, we need to receive your gift by December 31st in-house, or it needs to be postmarked in the mail by December 31st in order for us to credit you for this tax year, 2022. If you've fallen behind a little bit in your tithing during this year, we want to ask you to just prayerfully consider doing your best to catch up or make your best gift to help us finish this year strong and make a good start to next year. We want to finish 2022 meeting all of our obligations, and we have a big year ahead in 2023. It's our 40th anniversary next year in 2023, and the Lord's put a lot of things on my heart. I can't wait for the new year to begin to share with you some of the vision that God has given us. It's 40 years is a generation, and so I believe that something special is going to happen as one generation blesses the next generation to carry forward the work of the gospel. You can use the offering envelope to give today. You can use the envelope to give by credit card or debit card. If you're giving by cash, you want to receive credit for that, you can slip it in the offering envelope or slip your check inside. Some people like to give by text. The information for that is on the screen behind me. For those worshiping with us online and for everybody, you can make a gift, a secure gift online anytime at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link on the top of the homepage and it'll guide you in making a secure gift online. Just before the ushers come and wait on us, I want to let you know about a couple things that are happening. First of all, next Saturday afternoon is Christmas Eve. We have one service on Christmas Eve at 4 p.m. It's our candlelight service. The choir is going to be leading worship. We're going to be singing Christmas carols together. One of the most beautiful services of the entire year. I was here yesterday while the choir was getting ready. They sound awesome. They sound amazing. And it's going to be a great time, 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve. This year, Christmas Day falls on a Sunday. How many of you know Sunday is the Lord's Day? And so we're going to be here Sunday morning at 10:30. We have one worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Christmas morning. The two services will be different, Christmas Eve and Christmas Sunday morning, two different services. Content of the services are different. And so we hope that you'll join us next Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. to worship Jesus. New Year's Eve, 5 o'clock, we're going to be receiving communion together. And then again, New Year's Day falls on a Sunday. And so we'll have one service on New Year's Day at 10:30 a.m. And we hope that you'll be here for all of those services. I want to ask the ushers if they would come to wait on us while they come. Our friend Dr. Joe Vitiri, who's part of our HTC family, has written a number of books on health, nutrition, fitness, on the way God has programmed our bodies. To just wait. Hey, hang on a second, guys. I haven't prayed yet, so we got to pray. Don't let anybody put anything in the bucket before we pray, or it won't be blessed. I'm teasing you. Dr. Joe Vitiri is in the month of January, he's going to do a 4-week health and wellness seminar on Saturdays, 4 Saturdays in January. He's offering that free of charge to the members of HTC. And so if you want to register for that, there's a QR code on this card in your bulletin. You can register for that. All right, let's give thanks as we give back to the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you lavished your very best on us in Jesus. You didn't withhold the best that you had. You offered him up for us freely. Freely we've received, so freely we give back to you today with glad and sincere hearts. Tithes and offerings, missions giving, building fund giving. Father, bless these loaves and fishes. Lord, multiply them to be more than enough to meet the need of this your house and the work of your kingdom all around the world. Father, bless every giver in this offering today and every giver to Harvest Time Church in 2022. Open the windows of heaven just like you said you would do. If your heart agrees with that, would you say, amen and amen. God bless you while you give. Ushers, you may pass the plates. Stand for just one moment, and would you give your very best welcome to our friend, Pastor Raymond Mooey.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn, and thank you for the wonderful welcome. Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. Truly, the privilege is ours at the School of Acts that we can get Pastor Glenn to come from where you are here and over to Malaysia. And help us to train and raise up men and women of God that will go out and do the works of God. The School of Acts has existed since 1994, and we have seen so many, many that have gone out, and we've seen with such a sense of fulfillment what they have gone out to do and how they've raised up these great big churches and planted schools just like what they have experienced in Malaysia. And God has used many of them that have gone out to preach miracle rallies and see thousands and thousands of souls get saved. We're so thankful to the Lord for partners like Harvest Time Church, every one of you, that have continued to support us in prayer and in giving. And so I want to always take the opportunity whenever I get to be here on this platform to thank every one of you for being such an incredible partner to us. The Lord has laid a word on my heart to bring to you this morning, and this is what I'm going to go straight into it. There was a time in the Old Testament of the reign of King Asa that the Bible speaks about in the Old Testament of how everything ran into a state of havoc under his rule. And there was such a massive breakdown in their society. The economy crashed, and there was people's lives that was so broken, and marriages were broken. And the Bible speaks about how the devastation was so great, and there was so much troubles that it was on every side, and there was no peace. It is recorded in the book of 2 Chronicles. If you can turn with me to that, or I will read it to you in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. But the Bible speaks about how through those crises, they turned to the Lord and they sought God, and they seeking the face of God, God responded to them and brought about a restoration. It was a powerful restoration, and God reset that situation and that nation, and brought back again the favor of God to return back to the nation and its people. But let's look at it before it happened in chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles, and look at the state of condition and the crisis that they were in from verse 5 and 6. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great troubles were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nations was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did trouble them with all adversities. So you see, in those days, there was calamities, there was crisis, there was tragedies. In those days, people that goes out from their homes and in the streets, there was chaos, and there was trouble on the streets. When they came back in the homes, there was conflict at home. There was no peace. And there was nations round about surrounding them that came into wars with them. And so there was bad economic situation. Then the moral condition of that place was at its lowest ebb, and children were endangered, and there was just no safety and security anywhere they turned. And you know, in those times, it was like people were trying to find where is the source of this problem. What was the problem? How did it come about that there's such devastation? And people will say, maybe it is the politicians, or maybe it is the government of the day. Maybe it is the people in authority. Maybe could it be the civil society decadence, or who caused this trouble? And as they were trying to argue, and they're trying to fight and blame wherever is the source of the problem, God spoke. And God says, I caused the trouble. Now, if God is the source of the problem, then God is also the solution to the problem. And so the people turned to God, and they began to seek the mind of God and began to seek the favor of God, that God might turn back towards them. And the Bible says that God responded and God answered. But you see, God, by way of the prophet, began to show them where it went wrong. What was the reason that God would take his hands off of the people and remove himself from their midst? And it's found in verse 3. And every time we see, if God stir up a problem, if God causes things like this to happen, we want to know why, so that we can turn back to him in those areas. And so in verse 3, God gave them 3 reasons for what they were going through. So here it is, it says in verse 3, now for a long season, for a long time, it could have been for decades, it could have been for 100 years, it could have started a long time ago, but it continued to deteriorate, and it came to a breaking point. In verse 3, now for a long time, Israel had been without the true God. Number 1. Number 2, they had been without a teaching priest. And number three, they have been without law, lawless. Now, the first one is they have not been with a true God. Now, they have God. They still go to the temple. They still observe the festivals and the times when they would come and worship in the house of God. And they still have the Holy Torah and all of those things. But what does it mean they did not truly have God? You see, they have risen up in a time like that, and they have gone on to do what they want the way they want it. And yes, they have God, but they wanted God to be the way they want Him to be. They wanted to do it their way. They want to worship God in their own way and whenever they like, whenever they feel like it. So they have God, but God has not been truly God. Where it should be that God is who He is. And we don't change God. We don't try to get God to conform to what we want and how we want it. We can't have God the way we want it to be and what is right in our own eyes. God is God. And He is the way He is. And today we have churches, we have people try to set God up the way we like or we think people would like God to be. And that's where it goes very wrong. And for a long time, Israel, here in the Bible, says that He has not been truly God. Instead, the people have become God. And that the people have been dictating how God is supposed to be. And He says that this caused the problem. This caused not only God to grieve, but at an extended period, God began to judge the people. And He says that the people have been without a teaching priest, and not because there is not enough resources, there's not enough teaching. There's a lot of books, there's a lot of material, there's a lot of things online, and you can get in there and get whatever message you want and what the fancy, whatever you fancy, you can get it and you can pick it up. That's lots and lots of information out there. I don't know how many books and how many people are putting things out there, and that's plenty of teaching. But what He meant is that there is not anyone that is teaching truth. Truth is so important. And you see, there are a lot of people who believes in a lot of things. There are a lot of things that are true. Today in the world, there are many people who believe that they've got the truth. But you see, it's just like when Jesus was standing in front of Pilate, and Jesus said that I have come to confirm the truth. I've come to bear witness to the truth. And He says that those that believe, obey the truth, they follow Me. And look at what Pilate answered. And it's just like what is echoed in our world today, in society today. Pilate says, what is truth? And isn't it what the world is saying today? What really is truth? And everyone believes in some form of truth. And what they believe can be truth. It can be true. But you see, the big difference would be not what Pilate say, what is truth? But instead, Pilate should have asked, who is truth? And that's where we miss it by a mile. See, the world is looking for truth everywhere. People will shave their head and people will wear funny clothes and do jingles, or people will run around and everywhere in the world seeking for truth. What is truth? But it should be, who is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, every time I come to Greenwich, one of the fun things, a must-do things, is to go to Costco. I don't have a Costco card, but Pastor Glenn is always good. He finds somebody and who has a card flashing, and then I go get into Costco. See, what is it about Costco? Costco is it's a warehouse. It's a warehouse of provision. It's a warehouse that you get supplies for your kitchen, for for your living room and for your bedroom over there, Costco is incredible. It's just like last night we went down to New York City. I was very blessed that, you know, I get to go in there and you know, Pastor Grant was talking about the library and the librarian and all that. And the library is a warehouse. It's a warehouse of books, of information, of data, of history, or what have you. And when you need anything like that, you go to the library. When you need all the rest of what you need, you go to Costco. Now, I'm not sponsored by Costco to come. But Walmart, if you like, or wherever. I don't know the rest of the names. But it's when you need something, you go to that place because that's the warehouse you get it. The Bible tells about the church, that the church is the storehouse of truth. Turn with me to the Bible of 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and you'll read this in verse 14, 15. These things write I to you, Paul says to Timothy, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth. Where are you? What are we a part of? The church of the living God. Our God is alive. Our God is not dead. This is the house. This is the church of the God that is alive. And that is eternal. There is a life forevermore. And because God is alive, He moves in our midst. Because He's alive, He speaks to people today. Because He's alive, He's at work. Because God is alive, He manifests Himself as the living God. And God, who is alive, whom we worship and whom we serve, He says, we are a part of this tabernacle. He says, the church is the pillar and the foundation of truth. Today in our society, truth is rejected. Truth is twisted. Truth is frowned on, and people turn away from truth, and as a result, malfunctions take place in society. We have dysfunctional families and lives. And there are things that are intended to serve us, to bless us. They malfunction. They stop functioning. And it's because of that, lives get broken. Good is destroyed. Because we reject the truth. And as a church, we're called by God that our first obligation is not to culture. It is not to race, it is not to tradition. Our first obligation is to what God commands. Ephesus. Paul wrote to the pastor of the church in Ephesus. What is it that is about Ephesus? It's a commercial hub. It's a center of commerce and industry. It's a center of traditions, culture, religion. It's a secular society. It's a place that people worship flesh, humanism, sexualism. And right there in Ephesus, where Timothy was pastoring and Paul was writing to him to once more remind him of who the church is and who we are, that we are the pillar and the foundation of truth. Right there in the midst of them is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the temple dedicated to Diana. And people from all around civilization of that day would come and they would marvel at the temple of Diana and go and pay homage and worship. It's just like when people from around the world comes to New York, they think about Times Square, they think about that lady, green color, I think it is, Lady of Freedom, Liberty. Yes, Lady of Liberty. And places that are historical, that are landmarks. And the Temple of Diana was the center of it all, was the biggest deal. And when Paul speaks to Timothy, it was very significant because that was everything that is about Ephesus, and the pride of the Ephesians was the Temple of Diana. And that temple was built in such a way where what stood out of the temple is the 170 pillars. 127 pillars, excuse me. 127 pillars that stood out, and it surrounded, it was all around that complex. And those pillars, they were about 4 feet wide and 60 feet tall. And it's all around the building. It took about 120 to 150 years in the making. And it was something that you cannot ignore. It was the pillars. And then the foundation of it was using charcoal wrapped in sheepskin. And this is so that when there is a great earthquake, it will still keep the building from collapsing and from it being destroyed. It was a wonder of the world in that time. But you know that that temple has fallen more than once. It was caught by fire and what have you. It was built that with the intention that it will be indestructible, but it was destroyed more than one time. And Paul used that backdrop to say the church is the pillar and the foundation of truth. And truth, the Bible says about truth, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And this truth will stand throughout eternity because it's the eternal word of God. And the church of Jesus Christ is a kingdom that shall never end. And he says, you must know that as celebrated as it is, the temple of at Ephesus, he says the church is even greater. The church is an eternal entity. The church is from Almighty God, the eternal God. That it is a kingdom that shall never end. We are the church. He says, Timothy, don't be intimidated by Ephesus. Don't be intimidated by your city. Don't be intimidated by the people of your nation. Because the church of Jesus Christ is far greater. Because truth is what we uphold. Because we've got truth. You live in a very secular society. You live in a time that everything that can be shaken shall be shaken. But the church is a kingdom that shall not be shaken. That everything that can be shaken shall be shaken. That what cannot be shaken shall remain. Back home in Malaysia, we've gone through very tough times during the pandemic. That's backdoor government, there's disruption, there's upheaval. And a month ago, we just elected a legitimate new government after these last 3 years. But we were coming so close, so dangerously close, where this election would have been won by the Muslims that would dominate everything. We have prayed. I have been engaging with authorities, with the government. I walk alongside with the ministers in the cabinet and speaking truth, influencing with truth. And that was what Paul was talking to Timothy about. It's a tall order. It's a high price to pay. And you represent everything that is about truth. And you're going up against the grain. You're like swimming against the tide. And it could cost you everything. I've worked for years, for these few years, engaging and working alongside and praying. And God, praise be to God, that we have a government that has now come into place, that it will not be antagonistic, that will not come against the church in a way that if it had turned out another way. One of my graduates of the School of Acts, of the school that you're a part of, is now in the cabinet. Praise be to God. Powerful woman. She was the first woman in our country, in a Muslim country. She is the first woman who became the Speaker of the House some years back. And through those times when she was studying in the School of Acts, so from then on, all her closest people, right hand, left hand, the people that are in those important positions, he sent them to School of Acts. She sent him to School of Acts. She sent her husband to School of Acts. But praise be to God. But it's no easy task, and there are many things that I have no liberty to share it with you. But do you believe that you, as a part of the church, you are a custodian of truth? In a very secular society, in a difficult environment, in a place where people embrace a different truth than the truth, would you dare believe God? And would you dare stand up in your heart and your spirit that the church is here to influence society, to influence our community, to influence the people that are in the corridors of power, that there will come some form of change that will happen that bring godliness to our generation? Believe God for that. The church at Ephesus. You know, when you go to Acts chapter 19, I'm going to just read quickly Acts chapter 19 to you. Acts chapter 19. This was Paul when he was in Ephesus. He caused no small stir and caused them to come against the people that was, in verse 23 says, that was about that way, the way Jesus, the way, the truth. And you see, they were so angry with Paul and all his people that was there, seeing the people get healed and seeing the people come and flock into the kingdom of God. Everything that was there was being shaken. And then they started to scream. Verse 28, you go back and read it. Verse 28 and verse 34. They started to scream in protest. They started to scream in going against what the message was preached. And what was their scream? Great is Diana. And you know, we talk about us praising God, worshiping God, and letting ourselves go and just in exuberant praise to God. But this people, for 2 hours, I don't know if you can shout for 2 hours, or I don't know if you can shout for 2 minutes, but they shouted for 2 hours, great is Diana, great is Diana. I mean, it was rumbling, it was roaring. I mean, things were moving because they were all shouting for 2 hours. Great is Diana. What is Paul saying? Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 again. 1 Timothy 3. Let's look at that. 1 Timothy 3. He says in verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, received up into glory. Oh, praise God. He says, I want to tell you something that's great. They shout, great is thine. I want to tell you, great is the truth. Great is Jesus. Today, there are many things that we cry great. Oh, look at this tree. I mean, I don't mean that it's not. It's great. I mean, the tree at Rockefeller. I mean, yes, it's great. And all the turkeys are big and all the meals are great and everything is great. But he says there's something that's greatest of all. He says great is he who was born in a manger. Great is he who was revealed in the flesh, that God, the Son of God, came. And he was born 2,000 years ago and lived amongst us. He says great. Great is the revelation of God made flesh, that God is no longer a mystery to mankind. He has spoken by no other lesser than any other, but he's spoken by his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, great, great is he. Great is this godliness and God manifest in the flesh. Great is the one that when he died on the cross, his body was taken down and in the tomb of Joseph. And on the third day, up from the grave, he arose. He says, by the Spirit of God that came upon him and by the power of the Almighty, he justified himself. He vindicated himself and he rose from the dead. He defeated the power of death. And we serve a Savior that is alive. We serve a Lord that is living, a God that is living. Great is the truth. Is your proclamation louder than everything that they think is true about Christmas? You've got the truth. When are we going to tell them about the truth? When are we going to introduce them to the truth? He says, great is he. Great is he that was seen by angels. What it means is that watched by angels, because they couldn't get salvation. They were so keen on watching everything. You know, angels was there when Joseph was told by an angel in a dream that this is the Son of God coming forth from Mary. And Mary was visited by an angel. So it was the angel. The angel came and spoke to you, talked to her. Blessed are you amongst women. And he spoke. And the angel of God also came and visited the shepherds on the field. And a host of angelic beings came to that field and shout, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. And it was the angel that stood at the edge of the tomb. When they came and looked for the body of Jesus, the angel said, why are you here looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God that it was the angel that was left when Jesus rose and ascended up to the heaven and says he will come in the same manner. Oh, praise be to God. He says it's true. It's real. It's the truth. And he says that he was preached amongst the nations, starting from Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the earth, from nation to nation. The truth was being preached. Oh, praise God, and it is believed by men. I've seen the gospel preached. I've seen people believe in Christ. I've seen them responding and coming into the kingdom of God. I keep seeing that happen. You keep praying that it'll happen in this nation. You keep praying it'll happen in Asia and wherever God will send me. Oh, praise God, I have been preaching miracle rallies and all this for a long time now, ever since some of these places are open. I've seen God move, signs and wonders and miracles. Oh, I'm challenged by opportunities. I'm challenged. The needs are so great. There is so much to be done. You pray that God will keep opening doors and God will keep providing and God will keep giving us favor in these nations that I can preach truth. He says he was taken up in glory. Oh, yes. Why is it so important about this truth that he was taken up in glory? Oh, yes, because Jesus said, where I go, you will be with me.
Oh, he's making proof that there is a home, a heavenly home, and there is eternity in this truth that Jesus is going up to prepare a place for us in the Father's house. He was taken up in glory. That's the truth. And he says, great is that truth. Oh, I want to tell you, as Romans 1 verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of truth? I tell you, just as Paul spoke to Timothy, in a world that is anti-Christ, anti-God, in enmity with God, Paul says, shout the truth. Declare, great is the truth. Don't worry about the voices. Don't worry about how strong those voices are, because the truth that you have sets mankind free. People will wonder, what is all these things about, and happy holidays, oh come on. The truth must not be thrown out by the church. We are the custodian. We are the guardians of truth. Tell them the truth. The reason for this celebration, the meaning of Christmas, tell them the truth. I want to pray with you. Time is up. I want to pray with you. The battle that we fight, it is not flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 16, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It'll come against you for sure, but there is a guarantee that says it shall not prevail against the church. He says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. The problem with us today is the keys of the kingdoms of this world are very attractive. Sometimes we promote it, people use it, and no wonder it's not unlocking anything and not locking anything. No wonder we're not seeing the results, because God gave us spiritual keys. And why are we borrowing the keys from our neighbors who don't know God? He says, I give to the church the keys of the kingdom. Use the keys of the kingdom. The psychology, the philosophies, the methodologies, all of those things sounds great. They sounds good. They sound potent. But there is something greater. There is no kingdom in all the world that's greater than the kingdom of Almighty God. God says, I gave you the keys of the kingdom. I gave you truth against deception, against the lies, against humanistic. I gave you truth. And God called us to arm ourselves with truth. We stand on truth, and the keys of the kingdom is what locks that which must never open. And what opens the things whose time has come for it to open. The keys of the kingdom. God gave it to us. How many of you are prepared to once more embrace truth as the greatest? You're ready that the church that you and I are a part of, great is the truth. Great is the Lord. Great is our God. Great is the kingdom of God. Let's all stand on our feet. I want to pray with you this morning that God will arrest your heart. God will bring you back to the place where you'll not give up, lose heart, stop fighting. No! Every day I made a fresh commitment to God. I will keep fighting. And I don't fight against flesh and blood. There may be things that you say, I don't have. Oh, you don't want me to start talking. I don't have. Oh, I can't, because that's not enough. We're not big enough. We're not strong enough. And Paul says to Timothy, in a hidden world, he says to Timothy, when he's in a place that he's crowded with the shouts, he's crowded with those that disbelieve, and said, great is Diana. And Paul says, no, great is the mysteries. Great is our God. Great is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that again you will cause us not just to be inspired by your word, you charge us with the word of God, that we will propagate truth, we will proclaim truth. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give the church again the courage to stand and keep standing. You give us the strength to go and keep going. My God, you give us the anointing of your Spirit that we will proclaim truth and keep proclaiming. My Lord, I pray, let it be a significant Christmas time, turn of the new year. God, truth will be declared. And that God, through the times ahead, we will say, great is our God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. How many of you so appreciate that word Pastor Raymond brought to us this morning? I want us to do something together just before we leave. I want us to say, great is the Lord together. Would you say that with us? Let's say it together. Great is the Lord. Come on, we can do better. Great is the Lord. One more time. Great is the Lord. Come on, give him one more good praise today. God bless you, everybody. Christmas Eve, 4 o'clock, candlelight service. Christmas Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. We hope to see you. We pray the Lord's best blessings on you and yours. Go in God's peace, God's grace, God's favor. Have a great week until we meet again. God bless you, everybody.